At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I'm a writer, actor, and comedian. And today is not episode 100, but it is recording 100. So we are doing it in person. And I am joined by returning guest, Justina Engel. Hello.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me back.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me in your apartment, in your bed.
Anytime. I'm so excited. I think I feel more confident this time because I have a lot less mom brain going on, and I actually could not imagine a better book to jump in with.
Well, our book today, and Justina was on for our Meet Samantha American Girl Doll episode, but our book today is from 2008. Actually, excuse me, it was published January 1st, 2009. So I did 2008 for research. Frozen in Time by Allie Sparks. This is a book about two kids who discover in a hole in the ground a bomb shelter with their great aunt and their great uncle cryogenically frozen in time. And that's why it's called Frozen in Time. What is your story with this book? How did it come into your life?
This is one of those books that I was embarrassingly obsessed with. It was like reading under the covers with a flashlight. I think I read it in one night and then I was like, perfect, because tomorrow night I'll get to read it again. It's excellent. It kind of hits all of the sweet spots for me. It's sci-fi, it's historical, and it's kind of a really emotional story about what happens when people with different worldviews collide. And I think that's kind of a theme if we look at the Meet Samantha book and we have like the worlds colliding, like historical children. Like I was locked in this. So like, yeah, thank you, Allie Sparks, for wrapping all of my niches into a book for me.
We were reading this and texting each other and you did say this book is caressing our niches. And I love that wording. I love that phrasing.
It really is. I had a feeling you were going to like this one. I won't speak for you. Did you like it?
I liked it except for the ending, which I did not care for, mostly because, well, first off, it's a standalone. I expected this to be a series until I was doing research last night, and it's not a series. Mm-hmm. Because Allie Sparks has other series. She famously has her Shapeshifters series that starts with Finding the Fox. I hated the ending because it's like, oh, you passed out. Let's tell you everything that happened while you were passed out instead of having you experience it yourself. So it felt a little rushed. It felt tidy, but I was along for the ride. I loved there's conspiracy, there's government secrets, there's people running and chasing, and I loved that aspect of it. It really reminded me of sort of the Golden Compass, and then the second book in that series is like very much in our world. Mm. And so it was very, reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So the thing that I feel like, we have Meet Samantha, and then on the last episode that we were on together, we talked about that I was like really obsessed with Little House on the Prairie. And I think that these types of situations, I was always fascinated with the idea of like meeting somebody from a different time. Like time travel is so mind blowing to me. And like how cool would it be to step out, like Futurama. Have you seen Futurama?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's basically like, this is like kid Futurama, but like essentially what happens is this guy gets cryogenically frozen and wakes up, you know, thousands of years into the future. And he's just like, literally, what is happening to me? And I think that culture shock and that jump is so fascinating. Like, I don't know, those memes where it's like, imagine showing like a Victorian child this brain rot video. Yeah. Like, I would love to do that. I would want someone from the future to come find me and show me their version of whatever brain rot is at that time. Like, that is so fascinating.
I love that. And I love that they are familial relations, because there's Rachel and Ben in 2009, and then there's Freddie and Polly, perfect names, in 1956. And as soon as they came together, I was like, oh no, there's going to be romance. And then they're related, so there isn't. And I was like, perfect, let's keep that shit out of here. Mm-hmm. Let's stick to the plan of how do we hide these kids from the government? Actually, the driving force is how do we find their dad? Mm-hmm. Which is, I love this. I love because it's like kind of dark. It's scary. There's like real danger. I didn't love the sequences where they're like being chased by bullies. I think because the stakes otherwise were so high.
Yeah.
I was like, let's get back to the government. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the Cold War.
Right.
Their father basically runs away in the 50s. They go to his house. There's blood everywhere, and they cannot find his kids because the kids are frozen in a bunker in the backyard. So everyone assumes he murdered them and defected. This is a British book. Defected to Russia. Mm-hmm. To give them all of his mad scientist knowledge. So the kids are like, Dad never would have done that. We have to find him. We have to be reunited. In the end, he was in Russia. He was cryogenically frozen. Mm-hmm. So that he could meet them. So he's not aged and old. Mm-hmm. I'm staring at your book cover. I love it.
So, see, the thing is like, this is something that I want to see be turned into a TV series. I think it is so TV adaptable. It could just be like one or two seasons. Like, you could really take it away with like a second season, because I do think, not that there are plot holes, but like, mm-hmm. I want more from
yes.
them. Like, I need to know more depth about the government and like what they're researching and what's going on. And I do think it would be kind of funny, like, not to bring them into our current 2025
right.
modern world. Like, I would love to see like two time capsules of them like being in 2009, 2010, mm-hmm. and having that a time capsule in itself, and it's like, we're modern, we're listening to our iPod touches, like,
yeah,
because they're talking about all these different culture shocks, and you know, why is music on a stick and it's like a flash drive?
Yeah.
You know, we don't really do that anymore.
No.
But you know, I think it would be such a good TV series. So if no one has approached Ali Sparks, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do on this front, but someone's gotta talk to her, because like,
it's been optioned as a movie, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just rotting somewhere, I bet.
God. Petition for this.
I know. I love that you said TV show. There is so much like conspiracy that I want to get into, like that I want more of. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm angry it's a standalone book. She's still publishing. She's still around. And she, like, I looked on her website. I looked at some interviews she did, and she's very much like, I don't know how they come to me. I just like start writing, and you know, I just kind of go with the flow. And she started work, her About Me page on her website is very cute, like a lot of strong voice, but she wanted to be an actress, and then and she knew that since she was 4 years old. She starts writing around six just to like make her friends and family laugh, and then she like works backstage in the West End. She becomes a reporter in her hometown. She goes into radio and writes comedy for that. And then I don't really know like how she lands in writing fiction and prose, but she talks about it as like, it was always there and somehow I just never saw it. And I was like meant to do this, and I landed, and it's perfect. She like posts pictures of like, this is my garden and this is where I write, and this, it's so cute.
We gotta get her on the podcast. I'm gonna send some emails out. Something that I love is I think that she's a really efficient writer, but mm-hmm. I say this as like a really high compliment. I see so many books where they're dragging it.
Yeah.
Dragging it. And it's like, this is a pretty short book. I mean, it is a youth novel, but it feels really full. Like,
it is a page turner.
So much happening. There's like mystery, there's family troubles, there's moral questioning, we have time displacement. It's never dragging. Like, there's something on every page, and I think that the characters are all super mm-hmm. well written, and this is something that I would fear happening if like Netflix adopted this into a TV show,
yeah.
is that the kids that were frozen, like, they're not stupid. Like,
yeah.
they have agency, they're genuinely curious and stunned by the world around them, but they're not like, oh, cargo.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, there's a lot of like, they make sense of things based on what they were back then. Mm-hmm. I like the culture shocks in the beginning, and then the contemporary kids get tired of it, and they're like, we gotta, come on man, we can't just stop and stare at everything. The one that I really did like is they're like, that poor man is talking to himself. And it's like, no, he's got like a Bluetooth in his ear and he's on the phone. Because there is a guy at my office who is constantly on the phone. And the one time he talked to me, it did take me 30 full seconds to be like, me? Me?
It's not the AirPods?
It's not, especially because he's so loud when he's on his AirPods. Oh, so God. Nevertheless, that was, I think, one thing I was like, that has not aged at all.
No,
like, he was still so... There's like little things where like Freddie is a little sexist and Rachel has to be like, come on, man, we gotta talk about this. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really liked.
Yeah, like, that is unacceptable. The one that always stuck with me was... They said something about the soap running out for the dishwasher, and they were like, so send the dishwasher to the store to buy more soap. Like, what are we doing? And they were like, what are you talking about? Like, the dishwasher. And they couldn't, you know, fathom that this machine was washing the dishes for them. But now, every time I wash dishes, I'm like, send the dishwasher to get the soap. Like, I'm the dishwasher.
I want a dishwasher. I want it so bad.
We had one, and then we moved. And now we no longer have one. And it just feels like if we didn't have one to begin with, it would have been fine. But now that it was taken away from
us. It's the knowing.
It's knowing what life was like on the other side.
Yeah. And you're cooking and stuff for three people instead of two. So it's even... And she can't help the little baby.
As much as I try to make her help, she just refuses. Guy, the laziest 16-month-old ever.
Ugh, she's not even here. She's not even holding the mics.
Unbelievable.
What would she need? Tiny, tiny sound tech.
I don't know what she does all day. I swear to God, she has a social life. People literally stop her on the street and be like, hi, Lou. Like, so good to see you. I'm like, who the hell was that? Like, what do you get up to in your free time? I have no idea.
I love that. But I liked that, like, Allie Sparks genuinely, I'm reading Vampire Academy for the next one.
Oh my God.
I have to close that. Very fun. But I like that Allie Sparks does not pull punches in terms of, like, Freddie and Polly are going through some, like, their bodies are changing. There's, like, some side effects to the machine. And Allie Sparks does not pull punches in terms of, like, it's a little gross. Like, Freddie's fingernails fall off. Mm-hmm. I am not a squeamish person, but that really got me.
Yeah.
I like that she doesn't pull punches in terms of, like, the government has secrets and can be lying to you,
mm-hmm.
and that it is, like, some of the real fear is not monsters, but it's, like, we don't have an adult taking care of us, like,
right.
How do we pay for food, how do we, like, continue to do this, because they live, their mom and dad are magicians and are out on tour because it's summer break, so they're not here, so their uncle... Jerome is Uncle JJ, because he is the nephew, again, because it's British. I, like, read some reviews and stuff. They're like, oh, it's Doctor Who, but, like, in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch Doctor Who?
I did,
yeah. So in talking about it, there's a phrase in Doctor Who that's, like, timey-wimey, and I'm like, yeah, this that's how we describe this book, because the uncle, Jerome, is also JJ to the kids from the past, because he was this baby.
Yeah, it's really like the listeners are gonna have to close their eyes and really
we need a little
family tree,
exactly, a little diagram. But he's a little bit of like a mad scientist. He's up in his room and he's not coming down, and he sort of lets Rachel and Ben get up to whatever, and then he gets engrossed in the mystery. He disappears to London for a while. And so I liked that, like, the fear was balanced of, like, the government is coming after us, and also, like, I don't have money, and I need to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, where are my parents? They're off doing magic somewhere.
Yeah. And I think, actually, now that I'm remembering it, Allie Sparks was, like, listing her jobs before she landed as a writer. She was a magician's assistant.
Okay.
There was, like, it was something, like... It was a British thing that was, like, not quite a theme park, but maybe sort of like that. And so she had some odd jobs there.
Okay.
And one of them, she was like, and I was in sequins. Yes, sir.
I love her.
She's so fun.
I need to queen out with her so bad. Well, did you see the dedication for the book was for, I believe them to be her children, but, like...
Yeah, she has two sons.
And then...
Oh, I have it actually right here. Many thanks to the listeners of BBC Radio Solent and readers of Southern Daily Echo for sending me their memories of growing up in the 1950s. And to Freddie and Polly and Sparks, who are her parents.
Oh, her parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were Freddie in the book is 13 and Polly is 12 in 1956, mm-hmm. and her parents were the same ages okay. in 1956. Oh, and it says, oh, thank you very, very much, Enid. I don't know who that is. Maybe a publisher. But I just did Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me, Full Frontal Snogging. The movie was Perfect Snogging. But that author also started in BBC Radio mm-hmm. as a writer. And so I thought that was really interesting. That's sort of not a stop in the writer route anymore, I feel like.
Yeah. I wonder, something I was thinking mm-hmm. about is that because this is a novel based in the UK, if this was written by someone in the United States, how would it be different? Mm-hmm. And I think that in a lot of British media, they don't censor as much, especially yeah. for children. So, like, this book is rated for 8 to 12 or something like that. And I think that these, like, vivid descriptions of fingernails falling off and, like, kidnapping plots and there's, like, violence and fighting and, like, I don't know, there are scary themes in this book,
yeah.
you know, and it's not being shielded to, you know, 8 to 12-year-olds, which yeah. I'm sure nowadays they're probably seeing much worse on the internet. But, you know, when this was the medium of, you know, acquiring yeah. that kind of stuff, I like that it doesn't hold back, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of treats kids with agency, yeah. like, you know, there are scary things, this is crazy.
Yeah.
The government's lying.
Exactly. Well, and what's interesting is that 2008, the year before this was published, it was January 1st, 2009, is there's a big, I mean, obviously there's economic hardship both here and in the UK, but there's also a swing towards conservatism. Mm. Like Boris Johnson is elected mayor of London, sort of prefacing a lot of like conservative swings in elections in 2010. A lot of people are like resigning. Like I think the head of the police in London resigns because he's like, I can't work with this guy. The other thing that happened in 2008 is there is an inquest into the death of Princess Diana, which is 11 years beforehand, starts in 2004. That's basically like everyone thinks the royal family did it and we have to look into it. We have to like put it on trial. And the jury finds that there's no cover up. It's just gross negligence of the driver and the paparazzi pursuing her. And the only other thing is, do you remember the Mr. Men and Little Miss books?
Oh my God, yes.
So they had a TV show that premiered this year in the UK.
I honestly just thought it was like a t-shirt brand.
No, it's a little book series. Oh, but also God. I had a lot of t-shirts of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my parents' house, we still have it. There's like a big magnet with all of them on it and a little square with a window in the middle that says, today I am, and you can move it to whichever.
That is so cute.
It's really, I like going there when my boyfriend visits and he like just moves it in his very, very quiet way. It's, I don't know. It's such a little thing.
I get myself one of those. Just
it's
for,
so
like,
cute.
You know, self-reflective purposes.
Exactly. What am I today?
Yeah.
What am I today? And then, but I think like, again, with Angus Long's Imperfect Full Frontal Snogging, it gets banned a lot in the US, not because of like, there's some sexual content, but mostly because it's like, she's poorly behaved and she's going to like make all the American kids annoying and rude to their parents. That's the big one, rude to their parents. So I do think like, the fact that they jump in a lake or something at one point to like get rid of the bullies and they are in a rush. So I think it's like those things that might actually be censored. And there is like, I don't know. It reminds me obviously a lot of the X-Files, which started I think in 93,
mm-hmm.
but that was definitely like, that was a huge thing in my childhood and gave me definitely this mindset of like the government can be bad and
yeah.
can lie to you and to question authority and question your sources. And so I bet that probably influenced your way of thinking
yeah.
about the world also.
Is your book the US or UK version?
I have no idea. Mine is a EPUB that I
okay.
got off
okay.
the internet. And it has a really ugly ass cover.
Weird.
Yeah. I like yours a lot better, where they are looking at them in the tubes.
Yeah.
There's a puppy. That
I'm confused because like it says 2009 mm-hmm. in the book, but then, you know, on my book
yeah.
it says 2010.
Oh.
And then when I was like researching some stuff online, like it would flip back and forth between saying like, oh, they are unfrozen in 2009. And then in my book, it was saying 2010. So I'm wondering,
oh.
like, and mine is published in New York. So I don't know if I have the US version and maybe it's slightly different than the UK.
Let me see. Because mine starts in 2007, but I think that is like... Is that when they're frozen in my book in 1956
yes.
and there's 53 years
okay.
that they're frozen. So I think it's 2009 in mine. But then what is,
2007.
Is that the beginning of the book?
Yeah.
Like shaking each other's hands on the street and you're like, who are these people?
Yeah.
I liked that they're like, you're firmly rooted in Rachel and Ben's perspective. And then every once in a while, you're like in the Kremlin underground. And there's like, I love sort of spy content that is fun and kind of mischievous. And I feel like I've just been thinking about this a lot in general. Like, I feel like that is sort of a hallmark of the aughts. Charlie's Angels, even like totally spies, Kim Possible, all sorts of stuff that I think, other than like Mission Impossible, which is obviously like a gigantic franchise, it doesn't feel as present anymore. And that's sad.
Let's see. Yeah, like I think that kids TV has cycled through a lot of themes. So I absolutely agree. Like spies was a big one. I wonder what now, what is the theme? Like, I don't know. There's like Paw Patrol.
which
I don't know. There's like Marvel. I'm just seeing a lot of like propaganda machines. Who's to say that the spies weren't either, because they definitely were.
I saw something ages ago that was like, ACAB includes Paw Patrol, guys. And they're everywhere. And I guess there's Bluey, which seems like a lot about like being aware of your emotions. I don't know. Have you ever seen Summer Camp Island?
No.
It's a little aged up. It's so cute. It's so sweet. It's about like animal kids at like a magic island that's summer camp where magic is real and monsters are real, but there are friends. And it's just really cute. Like the first episode, it's about the main character like having anxiety because he's away from home for the first time. And it's basically like, it's okay to have anxiety, man. It's okay. It's okay to be like a little freaked out that your best friend has other friends. Yeah. It's okay. Aww. It's so sweet and like really creative. And did you ever watch Phil of the Future?
No, I wasn't really a big
TV watcher. The creator of Summer Camp Island is married to Phil of the Future.
I see.
Who had her? Yeah. She started before.
Oh, okay, and
they, I don't know when they met, but,
I'm making up plot lines in my head for these people. I'm like, and then,
but we were talking about nepotism recently. That's true.
That is true.
We were talking about that.
You were robbed.
It's just funny to me that like multiple people have said, this girl on the pit, I thought that was you. Like, that's your type.
No, it was like somebody paid a lot of money to push Erin out of this casting.
Well, I didn't go out for it. I feel like I've gone out for a couple HBO shows, but I can only remember I did a tape for Mousy Girl for Sex Lives of College Girls.
Not Mousy Girl.
And I got it and I was like, yeah, I can do this. It was one of the ones where I was like, I got it. Let's do it. And it was like, I think maybe a one-liner. It was like, delivery for Erin or something. That was it. But I loved it. But I think this is what I texted you about that I prompted you to say caressing our niches, because Ben and Rachel, this is very early on in the book, they find the bomb shelter. They go in, they find Holly and Freddie like frozen and they're like, what is happening? And so Ben says she doesn't look dead. Maybe they had a way of preserving them, you know, embalming, like the way they did with Lennon and Eva Peron. My favorite fun fact to just toss out is, you know, they pickled Lennon, because they did. My mom is a Soviet studies scholar, so I just got some of these facts.
Until you texted me this. So it was like really great new information. And also I was like, yes, Erin. Yes. How did I know you would find something in this book that you're like, wait a second?
Fun fact, they pickled him.
I wonder what they do. Oh no, I guess they're embalming the saints that they keep in churches in Italy. Like, I know you could just like walk in and see a body that's been there for like 30 years and everyone's like praying over them. I'm like, all right,
that's so crazy. But another favorite fact that I want to eventually start a history podcast that's just like, here's some crazy thing I Googled. There was once, it's called the Cadaver Synod, where the Pope was like, a previous Pope did some bad shit, so we're going to dig up his carcass and put him on trial in the Vatican.
Right.
And of course they found him guilty, and then I think they threw him in the river.
Uh-huh.
And I'm listening actually to a very good audiobook about Henry VIII and his wives, and I'm having a lot of thoughts about it. So Henry VIII at one point, I mean, crazy guy. At one point, he's like, I want to dig up this religious guy, Becket, from like the 12th century, dig up his bones and throw him in a literal dung pile.
Yeah, why not?
They just tossed that in while I was driving to work this morning. You know?
Oh my God. I'm still like processing digging up a man to put him on trial and throwing his body in the river. That's like very Italian sounding, honestly. That sounds like something someone in my family would have done. So the drama of it all.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Still his body. Like, how decayed was he? And they're like, dig him up and put him in. You know what?
Yeah.
We could really go down a rabbit hole with that.
There's a nonfiction book that I have that I still have not read called The Bad Popes.
Okay.
That I'm just very excited to get into. There's a woman in like ancient papal history called Marozia, who I like need to write a screenplay about one day.
Even the nuns.
I know. Well, and episode 100 gets at what I think was the start of that, the root. I like the way that this book explores Polly and Freddie's relationship with their father. He does experiments on them, but they're like, no, we volunteered for them. And Rachel and Ben are like, that's still bad.
Yeah.
And there's this idea that like they had been left. They don't know if their father did defect and was a spy. They don't know if he died immediately, like he hasn't been heard from. And there's this idea like that they had been left.
Something that I kind of focused in on is, because I was thinking a lot about the last episode that we did, and we talk about how much we love things set in other, you know, time periods. And, you know, this was one of the first things that I read about someone who was, like, physically pulled from their time. So I was kind of exploring, there's the literal versus the emotional type of displacement. So if you have Futurama, for example, or have you ever played Fallout?
Very briefly. I've also seen some of the TV show.
Okay,
yeah. It was like my boyfriend put it on the game and I was like, I don't know how to work this controller. It was like much more of a logistical all thumbs.
So good. One of my favorite games of all time, Fallout 4. But like Futurama, Fallout, Frozen in Time, these are all literal time displacements. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people are physically dragged forward in time. And they're still themselves, but the world is unfamiliar, and it's super alienating.
Yeah.
And they have to rebuild an identity in a context that makes no sense to them, and I think that resonated with me deeply. Mm-hmm. I kind of found myself relating more to the kids that were dug up rather than the modern kids from 2010. But then you have the emotional, so like in Meet Samantha and Little House on the Prairie, you know, those girls are not technically time travelers, but I would say that they either feel too modern or they like act too aware or too rebellious for the era that they're in. So they're out of sync with the expectations of their time, and that's its own kind of time displacement. And I think that feeling out of place was very, I don't know, it was an impactful theme for me personally. And so now I'm wondering, or did you relate to any of the characters?
I don't know that I did, because I think all of them, they felt a little flat to me.
Okay.
At the same time, you've got a lot of plot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I enjoyed that they set up this dynamic between Freddie and Rachel. And we set up Freddie and Ben spent a lot of time together. Polly and Rachel spent a lot of time together. I wanted a little bit of like Polly and Ben, just because I feel like that was the one dynamic that we didn't quite get into.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved what you're saying about feeling different, because I think that is, it's in so many books, it's in every single one. And I think there's the ones where I think it becomes super applicable into, this could be any sort of like contemporary, take out the sci-fi and it's still true, is Polly and Freddie have to go to school for a little bit. And there's the scene where each of them like introduce themselves as the new kid in class. And there's like comedic moments because Freddie's like, oh, I took hunting and I know how to cut stuff up. And because they lived on a quote hippie commune and it is fun to be like, oh, you haven't like, obviously you don't know about, you know, the civil rights movement and like, you know.
Where's the corporal punishment?
Exactly. So I think that felt really true. And I think you said this, I think, right as we were starting, but it is like, how do you connect through different viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And there's also, I liked what you said about crafting identity, because there's these things where Rachel is like, Polly, your outfits are for babies. Mm-hmm. We can't have this. And I think part of me was like, oh, New Girl, like, hasn't come on yet. Mod cloth isn't big yet.
Right.
Polly would go crazy for mod cloth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's
she's
also
just like 2 years yes. too early. Like, she's ahead of the curve.
She is a trendsetter.
Perhaps yeah. she actually sparked the movement. You know, they saw her like, that girl's so weird. And they're like, wait, she's on to something. Because everyone wants to hate on a weird girl.
Yes.
Until they emulate her.
And that's how it starts. Yeah, I love that, like, they're afraid of being bullied, so they, like, sit with a teacher at lunch. Just cute.
It is really cute. I mean, they're also stunned by Rachel talking back. They're like, I can't even believe you've done this. And, like, you know, calling adults by their first names. Like, that's something mm-hmm. stunning to them. Rachel, why do you speak like a boy? Why are you dressed so casually? I mean, I wrote down
yeah.
all of the culture shocks.
Oh, experience. Perfect.
It's extensive. There's like the technology. They got the mobile phones. Like, is this a spy device? Like, he Ben takes a photo. They're like, this is witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Because why is the photo appearing instantly? Like, they had dark rooms.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. They think the computer is a library, was swallowed up in a machine. They are like, where's the books? And mm-hmm. how do they fit all the books in
yes.
that box? It doesn't make any sense.
And there's microfiche, which
yes.
love.
Yeah, the like flat screen TV, they're like, can the actor see us? Because, you know, they have the little black and white TVs. They're suspicious of fast food, candy and sugar. They're like, why are there so many choices in the dairy aisle?
Yeah, microwaves, I remember being a big thing.
And death ray ovens.
Death ray ovens.
Which, you know what? I am suspicious sometimes. I'm like, how does it get
yeah. I like what they talk about in, there's like TV dinners a lot. They're eating mostly fast food. And that's because like Uncle Jerome isn't taking care of them. Their parents are gone. And I, for some reason, I'm like, to me, that is like the pinnacle of neglect.
Right,
is
right.
like frozen food for some reason. And I love that there's this ongoing thing of like the kids from the 50s are like, they have fast food and they're like, oh, this is good. And it's bad for me. I loved that not only is this sort of like a novelty, but it's also you learn a lot about what was it like in the 50s and that like meat was a lot harder to get and basic things of like, what would the supermarket be like back then? Mm-hmm. I appreciated that a lot. Yeah. And it is like, how do you hang out with someone whose worldview is different? How do you find value even in differences?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, when you're reading it as a kid, you're focused on, you know, the cryogenic aspect and that two-faced librarian snitch.
Yes.
I was like really mad about that for a long time.
Yes, because we're big library fans. Big librarian. I feel like a librarian. I just don't want to get a master's.
I feel that for you, like spiritually, that you are a librarian spiritually. It's like one of those things, like if you were to like appear as like a haunted doll in the future, or it's like, you know, you go to a thrift store and you're like, this doll, like, it's speaking to me, I'm gonna bring it home. And someone comes over and they're like, I'm a medium, this doll, this spirit that possesses it, it was a librarian. And Erin's like, it wasn't, like, it was me. But I just feel like that's what you encapsulate in the most loving way possible.
I've gotten sexy grandpa and sexy librarian.
Yeah.
And they're both true.
Yeah. I don't think anyone could argue against either of those.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I am like from multiple generations of historians, and I think that's what it is.
I've gotten stuff like, you're demented. Can someone please tell me what's wrong with her? And like, I come from a long line of crazy people. So it does make sense,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm going to cryogenically freeze myself, go into the future and see if someone from
yeah. It would be so interesting to like hang out basically with your grandmother as a teen, you know? And I think that's, yeah?
Yes.
You used to dream about that. Well, say more if you feel like you have any, say more.
I used to tell, so I spent so much time with my grandparents growing up. Like, I was basically an old person. So, you know, everything from my childhood is super nostalgic. Like, you know, people will be talking, you know, Gen Xers will be like, in my childhood, you know, we used to drink from the hose and, like, get our ass beat. And I'm like, me too.
But now that I'm thinking about it, that's Samantha. Her parents aren't around, so she lives with her grandma.
Yeah, she was, like, you know, old-fashioned. And so, like, I know, I would say, like, really weird stuff that old people would say, and people would be like, what's wrong with you? I said something, I was like, oh, all these, like, newfangled ideas. I was like, what are you talking about? Who says newfangled? Like, what do you mean? It's like when Polly in the book says, oh, this is smashing. Like, that was me. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I used to, like, literally mimic how Shirley Temple spoke and is freaked out. Anyway. Yeah. But I spent so much time with my grandparents, and I used to say to, you know, my grandmother specifically, I'm like, I really feel like we would have been best friends if we were the same age, especially like my mom's mom and I have a lot of beef, lovingly, but we do. And my dad's mom, she was crazy, like certified crazy, but I really feel like we would have gotten into some fun shenanigans together. Mm. And she was like one of the first women to go to NYU. Like, ever. She worked in this, like, music store called Ups and Downs. She went on a date with, like, Mick Jagger, and Bon Jovi, like, wrote a song about her. And I'm like, who is this diva? Like, she was crazy in a sense where, like, she tried to kill the neighbor. Like, she, like, ripped a fence post out of the ground and was, like, trying to beat the neighbor to like, a lot of things. But I do feel like, you know, we would have maybe been arrested, but we would have had fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. My grandmother ran a music store in the Lexington, Kentucky Mall. Yeah. And it was like records and stuff, but also instruments. And like, so some bluegrass sort of legends would come through. She died when I was ninth grade. So like they were all in Kentucky. So like, I didn't get to see them a lot. And she's one that I was like, she was funny. And I wish I had spent, like, more time. I wish I had, like, had a personality before she died. But she's so funny. Like, she and my grandfather got divorced when my dad was in college. Mm-hmm. And when my grandfather died, we stayed at her house. We were like, okay, we're going to go to the funeral. Do you want to come? Like, last chance. And she's like, nah, too much water under that bridge. No. She just stayed home and watched Criminal Minds.
Been there. Yeah. Not even worried.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
She's so funny. But when my dad and my mom got married, obviously both of his parents were there, and my grandmother's mom was there. My great-grandmother was there. And apparently she cornered my grandfather like a decade after they'd been divorced and like gave him a talking to. I love it.
Hell yeah.
I know.
I love a badass grandma. I feel like so many, you know, everyone's like, my grandma like bakes cookies and like tucks me into bed. I'm like, my grandma was yelling out the window and we had to physically restrain her. Like, what is that like? What's happening?
Exactly.
Like a sweet little old lady grandma.
I know. My other grandma was a bitch. She was awful.
This is like, I need to know what they were like when they were younger. You know, did you lose your filter because of your old age? Yeah. Or like, you know, they feel like they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, I want to slowly become more and more unfiltered. I want to be like 65 and be like, grandma, I mean, 65 is not old. What am I saying? I want to be like 80 and they'll be like, grandma, you can't leave the house topless. And I'll be like, I can't. Shit. I don't know what I want. You know, like, you know, I think if I get past a certain age, like I'll take smoking back up. Like it just feels right as an old person. I don't know. I need to know if she was always like that or if she was hardened with time.
That's true. Like, I want, with my bitch grandmother, I want to, like, go back and, like, see if I could change things. Yeah. Like, again, from a time travel perspective. And, like, it's hard to grow up and bringing it back. I think Freddie and Polly have to deal with this a little. Oh, my gosh. I changed my photo on my lock screen to a picture of Zach, and it's such a good picture. I'm getting distracted.
So cute. That's so cute.
When we were in Wyoming, yeah, that was in Yellowstone. And we're like, there's snow. We have to get out. Each throw a snowball. And then we're like, okay, we're cold. Let's get back in the car. Keep driving.
Being in LA has made me so weak to the cold. We had like 2 days in a row. It was like max 50 degrees. I thought I was going to die. I had like 8 jackets on. I was shuffling around. Everyone's like, you look a little pale. I'm like, please don't talk to me. Like, I'm unwell.
And it is a fun thing to laugh at.
I don't know. I think it feels worse in LA to be cold. I was never this cold in New York, ever.
Yeah.
It was like negative 10. Yeah. I'd be like going for a walk, getting my iced coffee. Now I'm like, I couldn't possibly drink something iced. Like, I'll perish.
There was one day in high school where it was 1 degree outside. And I remember people brought blankets. We were all like huddled up. We were outraged that we had to go to school that day in 1 degree. But I remember once I was my senior year of high school. I was like late or something. Maybe I had a doctor's appointment and I got dropped off and I slipped on the ice and I fell on my backpack and I just sat there for a minute. Sometimes things happen and you just have to let them happen for a little bit.
You gotta sit with that for a moment and really let it sink in.
No one was around. Yeah.
No one was around to hear Erin slip on a...
And I don't even know if my mom saw, and if she did, she probably would have just driven away.
shaking her head. Yeah.
One time when I was in elementary school, my mom put a can of cat food in my lunch, and I got home, and I was like, Mom, you accidentally put a can of cat food, and she's like, no, I did that on purpose.
Oh.
And I said, why? And she goes, well, I want your friends to laugh at you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Mom. Thank you so much.
Love that lady. What's wrong with her?
I love her. What's wrong with her? Please.
It's her mom. That's what's wrong with her. My mom's cousin is like pretty close to me and she's like, I'm 55 and I'm still terrified of your grandmother. She's dead and I'm still terrified of your grandmother.
Oh my God. I will like have dreams of my grandmother like yelling at me sometimes. Like she'll just appear and then I'll like tell my dad and my aunt and they're like, well, you're probably doing something wrong that she's unhappy with. Get out of my head, Tina. Like,
wow. Well, that's the difference between an Italian family and a generally British family is that our family does not yell. We don't even call each other by names. It's you just go up to the person and start talking.
It's freaky to me.
Yeah.
People don't yell in their families. Like my partner is Irish and the whole family, it's so quiet when I go to their house. It freaks me the hell out. Like, you could hear the fridge turning off and on. Like, you could hear,
Yes.
chirping outside.
My grandparents' house, silent, except they have so many clocks.
Yeah.
So just the clocks. And it's uncomfortable.
It's scary. And then, they don't address each other sometimes. Like, someone will, like, mumble something. Maybe someone will mumble something back. When they, like, get into heated discussions, they'll be like, it'll be like this, Erin. Like, this is their version of yelling. You're upsetting me right now. What? My family would be like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm killing you right now. You better run. I have a knife. Like, full volume. Like, you could hear it, like, three towns over. Like, the sound of the bolt cracking. Like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? Like, where is the... It's so scary.
But I do want to share with viewers, Justina and I met through book club 4 or 5 months ago. We read My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante, which is an Italian book, and Justina had to be our Italian culture stand-in.
There's a lot of niche Italian references in that book. Everyone's like, I don't understand the focus on the shoes. And I'm like,
that's exactly what I was thinking about. We haven't talked about the dog. There's a puppy that also gets cryogenically frozen.
Yeah. You know, I completely forgot about that.
As a child or just now?
Just now.
Yeah. Bessie.
Bessie. Why did they do Bessie like that? Why'd they have freeze the dog?
It does feel like almost a Scooby-Doo thing of like, there's so much of this book that feels like quintessential, like almost Jack and Jill, like basics. And then there's like, on top of it, government conspiracy. Mm-hmm. There is this librarian that you mentioned. There's just a very nice librarian who's like, wow, kids are interested in like the microfiche. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like, yeah, what a world. And then we find out she is a double agent.
Yeah.
She's like a British operative who then goes to the Russians, and she explicitly says it's because the pay is better. She's like, I need the money.
I think the messaging from the story is we have to pay librarians better.
And we do. Yeah, and she stabs them with syringes of sedatives.
It's the worst librarian ever.
But again, it's like, yeah, real horror kidnapping. It's not... Well, it's not quite Stranger Danger. It's librarians who smile a little bit too much.
Worse than Stranger Danger.
There's a place called Poppycock Hill. Mm-hmm. Isn't Poppycock bullshit?
Yeah, that's Poppycock.
We should all rewatch Mary Poppins.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's about GPS. It's interesting how things like come around, mm-hmm. You know? They're talking about a GPS or a sat nav, as it is in the UK. And he goes, it's a giant camera in space which can track you wherever you go. And Freddy says, sounds ghastly. And Polly goes, yes, like you're being spied on by the Galactic Bureau of Investigation. How dreadful.
Oh my God, the other thing that they were shocked by was like, Rachel makes a joke to a police officer, and then Freddy's like, Like, they're gonna be absolutely taken down. Like, the police are nice now. When I was like,
You are wearing a shirt that says, never talk to cops. That's what your lawyer is for.
Never talk to cops.
You don't have to say a thing.
Not legally obligated. Remember that, folks.
It's something that kept happening in reading this. I would get sad of, like, Allie Sparks has a, or at least Ben and Rachel have a worldview of, like, it is a bleak time to be alive.
Yeah.
And I think it has always been a bleak time to be alive. It was bleak in 2009. It was bleak in 1956. But they lock their bikes up. There's a lot of biking in this, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
And they lock their bikes up, and Rachel's like, and Polly says, why? And Rachel says, it's 2009. Bad sorts, isn't like bad people, are everywhere. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And yet, it's true.
It's really sad. I mean, like, for Polly and Freddie, and like everyone they know is gone or dead. Or missing. Like, that is so terrifying and horrible. And they lament on it a lot. You know, like, Polly really misses her mom, and she's like, where is she? What do I do?
Yeah.
They're constantly looking for family members or just some kind of, they're just grasping at something they could never have back. And that is just absolutely devastating. And I think also, as a child, it makes you really aware about time passing.
Yeah.
Back.
And it feels like a lesson you have to like continuously learn throughout your life. But yeah, there's no going back. And it's interesting that it is time travel, but not a time machine. It is like time travel. You can go forward, you can go back. There is an agency there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the hallmarks of children's books is a complete and total lack of agency. Or on the other end, like an extreme amount of agency as wish fulfillment for a lack of it. There's also something about e-numbers that I don't know what they're talking about. They're in the grocery store, and Ben says, better steer them away from the really colorful ones, Ben muttered to Rachel, who was carrying Bessie. They're full of e-numbers, and they'll probably go bonkers after they eat them. They're not used to it.
Is that like red dye 40?
Maybe.
That's kind of how I pictured it.
I'd imagine that. Have you ever eaten an M&M and be like, oh, I can really taste the chemicals and like the spider legs in this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it really hits.
Yeah. Up until recently, I've been going ham on the M&Ms at work
because
it's my job to refill them.
I've been on a peanut M&M kick.
It's the peanut ones.
They're so good.
They are so, it's stupid.
It's like a snack. It's like a meal. You could be like, you know what? Time for my M&M lunch. Like, it's,
exactly.
It's so good. It's the filling. Like, it's salty. It's sweet. I'm going to freak out. We're going to have to get some after this.
It is perfect. But this, I have read several Goosebumps books for this podcast.
Okay.
R.L. Stine loves a cliffhanger at the end of a chapter. I don't like them because they're always bad. It's always like, and then a hand touched my shoulder. And the next chapter was like, it was my cousin Benny. So, so bad. This book is gripping and chilling.
Yeah.
The, like, had me gasping at some of the chapter endings. It's something about, like, Percy, who's the cop, or retired cop.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where he's like, yeah, they're like down there in the shelter or something. And then they turn around. Polly goes, who? And then a voice goes, Percival Shaw. And they turn around and there's a guy standing there. And Percy is like an old man. He used to be a detective. I could only imagine him as Nigel Thornberry.
Mm-hmm.
You too?
Yeah. You know what? It's like the whole accent thing. Like, it's me, Percival Shaw.
Yeah, and maybe they said he has red hair. I don't know. But that is, again, we often have mind melds.
We really do. It's really freaky. I'll, like, have a dream and then Aaron will text me. I've had this vision. And I'm like, really? Accidentally put it in my brain.
Oh my gosh, that's just like Vampire Academy that I'm reading. Vampire Academy is like every single TikTok vertical show that you've ever seen.
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Those advertisers, they get me because I'll be like, this is so stupid.
Wait.
What do you mean the billionaire heiress is being pushed down the stairs? Like, who will save her?
There are some that I'm like, oh, this is horny and I like it. There's one that's like, how could a jock love a fat girl? And I mean, grossed.
Yeah, it's wild. I love seeing the behind the scenes from the actors too. Like, they're
I don't think I've seen any of those.
I think they're in the mindset of like, this is camp.
It's camp, and I think you get paid a lot. I saw one once, maybe I told you this, that I saw one on Actors Access that was like, my three werewolf stepsons, and I couldn't audition for it because it was non-union.
No.
I really want to know about my three werewolf stepsons.
I do too. There was one that I saw that was like, falling in love with like the hockey captain or something like that. And it was like this kind of like...
Oh, I know the one. Yeah. And she has to like keep him from like partying or something.
Name is, like, Dora. And she has this like knit sweater on. And then I was like, wait, like I feel like Erin could really play.
I have a type, yeah. I saw one that was crazy where it was like this girl with the most god-awful wig and she has like an evil billionaire sister or something and she has to go into the military.
I don't think I've seen this.
I don't know how that came into it. It was just the wig was so bad. I was engrossed.
I can't. It was like my alpha. Like,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Tune into Vampire Academy in like a month.
This interests you. You'll be interested in the next episode.
Tune in to find out. Actually, and I'm just making these connections now, the Cold War can feel a lot like the aughts and the post 9/11 world. Mm. And I think that there's something very apt and astute there, because Percy is talking about the 50s and he says it was very bad times in the world. Nobody trusted anybody. And that reminded me so much of like of Rachel's line of like, bad sorts are everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's just the world that we live in.
Those are formative things for children. Do you think that there were things in this book that held up better than you expected?
Oh, I don't know. I think some of the gender stuff felt like a little trite to me, I guess. But I think it's also like good to be reminded that like this is still very present. Yeah. Like Polly and Freddy, it is not insane that they would be, if they had not been cryogenically frozen, that they would be alive and would be a part of Ben and Rachel's life. And what's also nice is that like Freddy can be corrected very easily because he's sort of the voice of light misogyny. Right. And it's nice that like, well, actually, I sort of wish that maybe they spent a little more time on it of like breaking down that ideology. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's like they get to a point where they're like, we don't have time to go into all of this stuff. But they kind of do almost like a cut to black, or they're like, we'll get to that later.
Right. That's why I think this would make a really good TV series, because then you could kind of explore that further. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of room for deeper exploration. I think it's like a good messaging to kids, though. It's like, you know, a lot, I mean, maybe not now, that their parents are the ones perpetuating that necessarily. I know that obviously it still exists, but this is like a whole allegory for empathy.
100%.
And I really love this book. And then, oh my God, something I was wondering is if you could pull someone from your past into present day, who would you pick? Like character, historical figure, who would it be?
No, I think there are like so many historical mysteries that I want to untangle, but I can't think of anything right now. Of course, what would you do? What would your answer be? I am immediately like, Joan of Arc.
Get her out here.
What's she up to? Oh, Katharine Hepburn. I just want her to like be mean to me for a little bit.
I hear you.
I love her.
You know what? For someone asking the question, you'd think I have an answer, but I don't.
Yeah.
I really had a fascination with Amelia Earhart.
Sly. Eaten by crabs.
The crab situation.
That's so funny. I'm sorry. It is, I want to untangle some mysteries. It'll come to us. Mm-hmm. We'll be texting in 5 hours and it'll come to us. Like, I want to know my grandmother a little bit as a young kid or like a younger person.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I would want to bring Liza Minnelli here now at our age.
So
Liza would be our age currently in hand.
Oh my gosh.
I just feel like we would really get along.
We would go crazy. I think there's some people where it's like, I would love to, you know, oh God, it's the Doctor Who episode where they bring Van Gogh to his, that is, that is what television was made for. Yeah. That is like one of the best episodes of TV ever made.
Yes.
And that was like, that was the season that I came in. Mm-hmm. That is very much like, that's my, oh yeah. Freddie comes in with his hair gelled in the perfect 2009 way. Mm-hmm. Let's get that boy frosted tips.
Get him some frosted tips.
Oh, I loved that their undercover last name is Robertson. That's my middle name. That's my mom's family name.
So personal.
Mm-mm. Yeah, what do you think surprised you the most in revisiting it? What do you think held up better than you thought?
It's very of the times. I think mm-hmm. it is very aggressively 2010 with the types of mobile phones and iPods and MP3s. You know, we don't really know what technology is going to hold up over time, and I would wonder how they would do it now, especially because people have really embraced a lot of nostalgic aspects. Yeah. You know, like, we have a whole vinyl collection, so they'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
TVs and vintage items. Also the fashion of the mm-hmm. time, like leggings, and no one curls their hair. I just think that this isn't true. Mm-hmm. What held up better over time, I think what shocked me on the revisit.
Yeah.
Okay. What shocked me on the revisit was how unsupervised these children were. I think it didn't even occur to me how let loose in the world that Ben and Rachel were, and then, you know, now they're taking care of Freddie and Polly, but I didn't process. I'm like, okay, they're going grocery shopping by themselves. They have to bike everywhere because no one's driving them places. Yeah. They're really navigating this world by themselves. And I think that is something that shocked me a bit. I was like, I don't remember them being this neglected.
Yeah. I've heard so much about people who grew up in like the 80s and 90s and were like, we're so unsupervised. We're latchkey kids. Yeah. And I wasn't like that, but I did like that. They, at the very beginning, their TV goes out and they're like, I guess we have to go outside, and they start digging. And there's a line that's like, children should dig more, that I had highlighted. And I don't remember who said that, but I was like, yeah, I do want to go jump in a pile of leaves. Get me a shovel. Mm-hmm. Give me some good manual labor. Mm-hmm. It is satisfying. That's like, Freddie jumps off a building onto another building.
They're just doing whatever.
Do you think being a parent has changed your perspectives? I think, like, obviously how unsupervised they are, but anything sort of in the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Lou needs to be outside more. Mm. I think I need to be outside more. And rereading this made me think about the time period that I read it in my life. Mm-hmm. And that was a time period where mostly all I was doing, it was pre me getting a laptop. Yeah. So I had a flip phone. And that was it. And I would just read books and play outside. And I think that really helped my imagination expand and helped me really appreciate books like this and get into a lot of historical things. And so also reading it and seeing how boredom creates all of these crazy adventures. And I really try to take a step back and not be a constant source of entertainment as a parent, and it's like, I want you to be bored, and I want you to figure it out. Unfortunately, we're in the stage where that means boredom is destruction. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once we move past pulling all the books off the shelf and ripping the covers off, like, we will hopefully get into, like, a more creative outlet for these feelings.
Yes. Licking the floors. Yeah. Yeah, have you read Phantom Tollbooth?
Yes.
That's all about the beauty and boredom. There's a moment where, like, Polly coughs into a handkerchief and everything is red in it. And I was like, I've seen Moulin Rouge. Classic. We know that's bad.
Tuberculosis.
Yes. Tuberculosis. That's why my grandpa only had one lung.
Whoa.
Yeah. When he died, that man had 9 fingers and 1 lung.
He lived.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's all I got.
That's all I got.
What do you consider required reading?
I would say this is required reading.
Yeah. I think it's fun. As a lover of Scooby-Doo, I feel like you're not going to get the thematic content in Scooby-Doo that you are here. Mm-hmm. I like what you said, that it is sort of like an ongoing exercise in empathy, which all sort of fiction, in my belief, is. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of books in sort of child literature that can be great starting points for broader genre. And I think that's something that's great about this. And I think it makes a big idea very accessible.
Yeah. They really put on display what it would be like to meet and interact with someone whose culture and experiences are vastly different from yours, mm-hmm. and how to approach it. And I think that is so digestible, and it's really a page turner. And even if you're reading along for the page turning aspects, you will not miss the empathy that goes along with it. So I would say this is required reading.
Especially if you like sci-fi. Anytime it was dragging a little bit for me, then you got a fantastic cliffhanger. So the pacing is really good. Mm-hmm. She knows. Would you, because you're a parent, this is an additional question, would you show this to Lou, to your baby?
Yeah, I would absolutely read this to her.
It's coming.
Or, you know, leave it out on the bookshelf for her to read. I mean, the reason how this episode came about was because Lou pulled the book off of the bookshelf and then ran over to me with it and was like, book, read. And I was like, oh my God, this was one of my favorite books growing up. So I texted you about it and I was like, have you ever read this book? I think you would really like it.
And I do. Is there anything you'd like to plug or anywhere you'd like to be found?
You can find me on TikTok or Instagram at Killer Pumpkins. On Instagram, I think it's with a Z. On TikTok, it's with an S. And I'm up to no good on both of those places, so.
That's true. How should we sign off on podcasts? Because I still haven't gotten it.
You know, this is only my second time on a podcast. I mean, I'll thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erin, for having me on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to... This always feels like more like a hangout.
Yes.
You're such a joy.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you. And that's the end of the show. It's saying I love you.
That's how we end
every episode.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.